loving and gracious God, by your Holy Spirit, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable to you. Amen. Well, good morning. The Feast of All Saints dates back to the early 7th century. It is thought to have begun in Rome when the famous Roman temple, the Pantheon, which means all the gods, was rechristened as the Church of St. Mary and all the martyrs. And at that time, the word saint and martyr were almost the same word. So the year was 610. The impulse behind the Feast of All Saints is simple and honorable. It's easy to celebrate the Christians mentioned in Scripture by name and to give them dedicated feast days. It is easy to celebrate the early famous martyrs by name, those who established the faith in the first centuries. But what about all those unnamed and therefore unremembered Christians whose faith is no less heroic and who are loved no less by our Lord? So we wish to remember them too. And so on All Saints' Day, we kind of invite the Lord to fill in the blanks for our sake. He knows who they are, and we rejoice that he knows who they are. We celebrate all of the redeemed, both known and unknown. We celebrate both their lives lived on earth, and we celebrate their continuing communion with us. Or to say, we celebrate our continuing communion with them, our participation in the communion of saints. Having said this, can I admit that for me there appears something slightly chilly, slightly off-putting about the phrase, the saints? It is because I know I'm not worthy to be numbered. Or they seem somehow a class of persons unapproachable by us on this side of heaven. Yet it must not be so. For heaven is a human place. We know that Jesus, after his resurrection, he ascended into heaven, not as a ghost, not as a bodiless spirit, but as a human being, the first fully perfected human being. And Jesus makes of heaven a human place. The word saints is a collective term for these particular human beings. And so might we this morning begin with a few particulars. We could begin with Mary, the Jewish girl who said yes to God, who agreed to bear in her own body the body of our Lord. We might also think of St. Augustine, 4th century bishop of Hippo in North Africa. I like to think of St. Jean de Brébeuf. It's a fun name to say. And he's a Canadian. 17th century, he ministered to the Huron people along the shores of the Great Lakes. We might think of Mother Teresa, who ministered tirelessly to the poor and the sick of Calcutta. She died and was canonized just a few years ago. So Mary of Bethlehem, Augustine of Roman North Africa, Jean de Brébeuf from the wilds of Canada, and Teresa of Calcutta. And consider how different in time, in place, in culture, and I think in personality are these four. Let us imagine them sitting in a room talking, these four. They have each arrived from the heart of their lives, from the best that they have known themselves to be in their earthly lives. There is Mary, dressed in a soft blue dress. She is quiet, graceful. She is comfortable with silence. Mary is always the still center of any room she inhabits. Beside her is seated St. Augustine. And though he is a bishop and doctor of the church, Augustine's a little intimidated by Mary, for her youth reminds him of his youth, which he recalls with some regret. Then there's St. Jean de Brébeuf, a man, I imagine, more of body than of mind. And he's restless. He rises from his chair. He begins to pace, thumbing his French Testament Nouveau. He smells of campfire and sweat. Mother Teresa, while setting out the tea service, looks across at Jean. She's amused. And though she has smelled much worse on the streets of Calcutta, she thinks Jean maybe needs a bath and a shave, and she will arrange that later. Of course, there are many saints we could choose, but we start with these four: two women and two men, a schoolgirl, a bishop, a frontier missionary, and a nun. And it will strike us how infinitely varied, even how peculiar, are the saints of God. And just for a moment, we can imagine ourselves taking our place among them. These four have come together for the annual Feast of All Saints. They speak to each other across centuries, across cultures and continents. They speak in diverse languages of Aramaic, Latin, French, and a particular dialect of Hindi uttered with an Albanian accent. Yet, by some strange Pentecostal power, it works, and they communicate. It is difficult, perhaps, to imagine what four such different people might talk about. Yet, equally, it is obvious that given enough time and after discovering their common language, these four will never run out of things to talk about. Despite their many differences, they recognize themselves as family, as kindred. The only thing they have in common is yet the greatest thing they might have in common: that they know themselves and each other as beloved children of God. And each of them in their early lives put that love to work in the world for the benefit of other people. Such are the saints. And now three others join them in this room, and so the room expands slightly to accommodate them. They are Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Martha, after saying hello, walks over to Teresa and says, "Can I help out?" That's what Martha does. Mary is also determined to help out, but you know how Mary is. She gets distracted. She finds herself in conversation with the other Mary, and that's fine. Lazarus, but this is interesting. He's immediately greeted by Augustine and taken away to a little corner of this room, and Augustine says, "You know, Lazarus, I do have a question for you." Lazarus knows immediately what it will be, but he's patient. Augustine says, "Well, it's about those 4 days, Lazarus. You were in the tomb, you were dead. I'm just wondering, is this your first or your second time here in heaven?" And Lazarus, he's a bright lad, you know. To all such questions, he says, "Yes." And now, while these two are talking, another joins them. It is Francis, everyone's favorite. He is dressed in a brown robe, he has a bird on his shoulder, and his pet wolf at his heel. He enters humming a French folk song, which Jean de Brébeuf recognizes and to which he adds a rough harmony. Francis is late for the annual All Saints rendezvous because he got lost. He had a map, but he gave it away. The man cannot bear to own anything. And Francis might have stayed lost, except he was lucky that Saint Christopher wandered by, he, the patron saint of travelers, and he pointed Francis in the right direction. And now Christopher enters the room, and the room grows a little larger. It grows larger still because 12 Galileans approach the door. These are fishermen, peasants, and one reformed tax collector. But they don't walk immediately into the room. They stand outside the door, and the one says, "After you, my friend." And then one of them says, no, "after you. For you are the least and the last of us. But you know what the Lord said, the last shall be first, so after you." This joke is 2,000 years old. It never stales. And then Mary rises, and she greets the Galileans by name, and she sits down beside her adopted son, John. And because this is the feast of all the saints, they just keep coming. The saints keep marching in, and the room keeps growing larger and larger to accommodate them. There is Dominic, the preacher, Bartimaeus, still blinking in disbelief, Catherine with her wheel of fire, Cecilia with her harp. She's tuning it up for the singing later on. On a warm gust of desert wind, the Old Testament crew arrives. Those whose lives foretold the coming of Christ, those who knew him long before they knew that his name would be Jesus. There is Abraham and Sarah and all their kids, all their grandkids. There is Moses and Aaron, Deborah and Ruth. There is Elijah with his raven and Isaiah with his papyrus and quill. The guests, the saints, they keep arriving. The room keeps growing larger and larger. From the sands of Sinai to the Arctic snow, from the late Bronze Age of Palestine to the postmodern cubicles of Silicon Valley, they keep coming and coming. The famous and the unknown, the learned and the naive, the old and the young. From four to a few dozen, from a few hundred to thousands and millions and more and more. All of these who seem to have nothing in common and yet, knowing Christ, have all things in common. The room keeps growing, the roof opens, the walls fall away. Down from heaven itself, the saints are arriving like stars appearing. And then there is you, and even me, I suppose. Where are you in all of this great gathering, this heavenly party? At some point you realize that you are not just looking at the saints, but you are somehow standing among them, surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. It is perhaps that the room has now grown so vast that there is finally no space to stand outside. Or perhaps someone has decided that this is where you belong. You think to yourself, well, it isn't true. You know that you are not worthy to be here, but neither are you ready to leave. There's a woman next to you. You ask her, where are we exactly? And she answers with a big grin, everywhere. We are everywhere. You ask her what year it is, and she says, it is always. And though she says it laughing, she is entirely serious. You are about to ask the big question, where is he? Where is Jesus? When suddenly he is there, he is standing beside you. It seems he has been there all along, and you have not noticed. But now, if you wanted to, you could reach out your hand and touch him, or perhaps just the fringe of his cloak. You also know you don't need to. You might speak to him, but you do not need to. For he is the everywhere, and he is the always. He is himself, the place, that room grown infinitely vast. And you are in him. And you are a saint because he is in you. And finally, the scene shifts one last time. It is not that the great room has stopped expanding, but you have stopped trying to comprehend it. You find yourself in a smaller room, inside the great room. And though all of infinity and eternity remain in that place, it has somehow a cozy feel to it. And you look around and now you recognize the place. It is your church. It is St. Augustine's Church in Lethbridge, Alberta. You are seated in your usual pew. It is Sunday morning, All Saints morning, and you recognize everyone. Everyone you look at is a saint. And when they look at you, they see the same. And now you think, if only the preacher would stop talking. If only the preacher would stop talking and the liturgy resume and the Eucharist begin. Because on this day, this Feast of All Saints, you are finally certain that you will hear all of those other voices which you have formerly only heard of, the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven as they sing. Or you might say it with me, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna to the highest.